We are in chapter 24. On the top numbers, it's page 274. This is a letter which relates to the previous letter, and this one specifically deals with decorum in shul and the lack thereof, as the case may be. So the last half of the letter is actually quite disheartening. So as you will see as we get to it, we might do the whole thing tonight. It's possible, it's short. Ayave Achai, my beloved, my brethren. Now in this letter, he doesn't say Vareai. In the other letters, he said my friends. And that we can, there's a conjecture, why didn't he say my friends? Is because this is not a buddy-buddy letter. This is a letter saying, I don't like what's going on. So you're not my friends in this letter. In this letter, the reason why I can say what I'm saying to you is because I love you. And if I didn't love you, I wouldn't say anything because I wouldn't care. But I love you, and therefore, and I consider you my brethren, and therefore, this letter needs to be said. Al ne tareya royim ahuvim. Do not do evil to those who are like the lovers of his, of their creator, their emanate, their former. V'sa'enim liyaitzim, and hateful to the one who made them. Al yasa adam atzmei rosh hasha'achas. A person should not make himself a wicked person even for one moment lifnei Hashem, lifnei Hamakim. Asher bachar ba makol hayom, that Hashem chose on us. That Hashem chose him. Mikol hayom, lahakel la'amid livnei lefanav. That we get an opportunity every single day at set period of times to stand before Hashem. And Hashem makes this a very auspicious time. Meaning, he's talking about davening. So the time when we daven is not just a time to get through. But, and the Baal Shem Tov, we talked about this for a zillion times, about the importance of davening. Here he's talking about the importance of the minyan specifically. And the fact that the times chosen for Shacharis, for Mincha, for Ma'ariv, were those times that were chosen for Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, make them quite auspicious in the eyes of the Almighty. The Almighty, in other words, it's not just by random or an arbitrary decision on the part of the Almighty that we daven Shacharis in the morning, Mincha in the afternoon, and Ma'ariv at night. But these are specific times when it is appropriate to come before Hashem. I'll give an example, L'umazeh. You have the Bilaam. In the story of Bilaam, Balak hires Bilaam to curse the Jews, Chas v'Shalom. And Bilaam believes that he can do an end run around God. That's a big end around, but he believes he can do it. Because he knew that there was an auspicious time when it would be a, not so much auspicious, there would be a time where he would be able to slide one in. And he knew that exactly at midnight, the first half of the night is governed by Hashem's Midas Adin. The second half of the night is governed by Hashem's Midas Harachamim. That's why people get say Tikkun Chatzos after midnight. That's why you can say Tillim after midnight. So he knew that if he could get a couple of words in from when the Midas Hadin, when the attribute of judgment was finished, before the attribute of mercy took over, he would be able to curse the Jewish people. This would be like a specific time when such a thing would be possible. It says in the Zohar that every time he tried this three times, and each time he fell asleep right before and woke up right after. So he knew after the third time that he's not going to get it. You got a problem with this?
Right. No, we're good. I hear it's good.
Okay, so there are specific times when it's possible to relate in Hashem in a specific way. So we happen to be given a whole morning to daven shachris. And what's the best time of the morning to daven shachris? Yes. Any time of the morning is a good time to daven. That's because that's the way Hashem made it. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah established that the time to say Shmoneh Esrei is until the end of the fourth hour of the day. Okay, so, and that means that it's an appropriate time, Bizmanai. So here it is that you get people together. And we talked about the importance in the last letter of having a minyan and all the things that it does. As far as the revelation of Hashem in this world, and here it is now. That was talking about Torah. And here it is now, we're talking about davening, which davening is, it's not like Torah. Okay? Because when you're davening, when you say Baruch Atah Hashem, you're using the word you. You can only use you if the person to whom you're talking to is right in front of you. If the person's not in your proximity that you can look them in the eye, you can't refer to them as you. You can only refer to them as him. Or that guy over there. You have to refer to him in third person. But when you're saying you, you means right there in front of you. So the time for davening is in a time, since now we're collectively together with a minion. And where the minion is all saying you, that means that the minion is now engaged in first of all, bringing Elikus down because there's 10 of them. And second of all, it says that the prayers of the minion are never turned back. I believe we talked about this in chapter 19 or 17, one of those back there. Because the prayers of a minion are considered like an express train. They fly. Hashem lets them go. Okay? There's no stopping. He doesn't have to stop it. Person davening by themselves. So they're on a local. Hashem says, well, let's see what this guy's doing now. Let's see what this guy's doing now. But a minion, there's no stops. The davening just goes straight to Shemayim. So now we're going to have to deal with the person who's leading it. So Hashem chose this time specifically to be revealed, for people to come to the small Beis HaMikdash, the small temple, the small sanctuary, which that refers to shul, lifkeid l'shchinas kevedei, to cry out or beseech to the Shechinah in His glory, hasheichen itam b'teich tumasam. And you look what Hashem did. Hashem is allowing Himself to come down into this physical world. How many people in this world today would be considered tahara, spiritually pure? Probably none. Because that's the nature of the world. We don't have a para aduma, and things are happening all the time. So in Hashem, so where is Hashem? Hashem is right here down here with us. You have 10 people who are tamei meis. These are 10 people who came in contact with a dead body or came in contact with someone who came in contact with a dead body. And they're all assembled together, ready to daven. So there, Hashem allows Himself to come and be revealed even among such a congregation. As it says, Hashem itam b'techem tumasim, He dwells with them in the midst of their impurity. Ula hamatzu l'dar shav, and to find those who are seeking Him. Okay? There's a pasuk. I'm not exactly sure where the pasuk says. Oh, Dir Shuham Vayavihi Matzah. We say it in the Tainus Esther. We say it on the Tainus in the Haftorah. We say it in Slichos. If you look for Hashem, you'll find Him. Now, out in the world, when I was growing up, the expression was, if you search for God, will you find him? Question mark. Implying, this is not us, that you're not going to find Hashem. But that's not us. Our version is, Dir Shuhavai, if you will look for Hashem, Himatsi, you'll find him, Himatsi Karav. And not only will you find him, you'll find that he's really close by. L'darshim avakshav, to those Hashem is close, will be found by those who search for him and those who are looking for him. U'miyachelav misapar b'sarachav, and you have this person over here who is requesting their own physical needs. Mara asmer she'ena chafes lizbanir lira is begile kvod malchusa v'nasa markava tuma l'ksil ha'elyain. And what happens? He has the opportunity to do this and to beseech to the Almighty and to have a personal one-on-one relationship with the Almighty. But instead, rather than showing a desire to attach oneself, to attach himself to Hashem, and to make, so whatever, and to the glory, the revealed glory of Hashem in his kingdom, so he makes himself now a vehicle for impurity, for the supernal fool, meaning the Yetzer Hara. Shenemar love, like layechvas k'sil b'sunasa. Hashem does not desire the fool for his understanding or for his meditating. So here it is. We always have an opportunity. Either we can attach ourselves to Hashem, or if we don't want to attach ourselves to Hashem, so then we'll attach ourselves to the other side. And here it is now. So what do you have? Is you have a minion of 10 people, and the minion of 10 people have the opportunity now to get on this express train. And instead, what is it that they're interested in? They're interested in getting out of there. Okay, everybody's got something more to do. Okay, I have to daven. It says I have to daven, but I have things that are more important to do. I have to go to work. I have to get the kids to school. I have to go eat supper. You know, there's always something that's going to be more important. And if we could knock off a davening, we'll get it done. And, you know, Shalom al Yisrael, we'll be on our way. But I davened with a minion. So he says you're blowing a divine opportunity, quite literally. Kamosha Kosovar, what? You're blowing a divine opportunity that Hashem is affording himself to say, here, take advantage of me being here. Kamosha Kosov of Zohar v'Harizal, as it says in the writings of the Zohar and the Kabbalah, the Hayesh She'enach of Esli is bein in Lira is bikar teferz gudalosa shal melech malchi amlocha makarash baruch hu. That means to say he doesn't want to spend the time to think and to see in the glory of the grandeur, the greatness of the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, Haniglas bil Amayla b'shazu, who is revealed above at this time. V'gam l'mata el hachafetzim l'habit el kaved v'godli. And not only is it so for sure, when you have 10 people gathered together and they're engaged in a minyan, so the greatness of the Shekhinah is revealed in the higher realms, but it also comes down into this world too. V'gam l'mata el hachafetzim, but who is it revealed to? To those who want to have it revealed. If a person wants to go look for it, so they'll go look for it, they'll find it. Person doesn't want to go look for it, he's not going to find it. That's why it says, there's one of the 12 Yud-based psukim. Yagaiti, what is it? Person says, Yagaiti v'lo matzasi. I achieved, no, that's the one I'm naming. Lo yagaiti umetzasi. I achieved, but I didn't have to work for it at all. It says, you can't believe him.
Right.
Because he didn't achieve. He right. thinks he achieved. Look, I did it, you know, I did it without putting forth any effort. So I achieved. And the answer is he didn't achieve. So here it says that because he says that this person, in order to take advantage of Hashem's presence at the time of a minyan, has to think about that Hashem's presence is there. It's not going to come automatically. So he has to be that Hashem is enrobed and enclosed into each and every single word of the davening. Hasiduris b'fi kol, which everybody can daven, at least in his time. I mean, even people who were illiterate knew back then, 200 years ago, they at least they knew how to daven by heart. So that they could do. So it says, as far as paying attention to the words of davening, the Rebbe was very much a proponent of looking into a siddur when one davens, even if you know it by heart, to for sure always be careful to daven in a siddur. Okay, like for example, you hear yourself, you're davening by heart, and you're thinking about whatever, and you're saying Ashrei Ha'am Shekach Alei, and you're going, wait a minute, which Ashrei am I at? And I have a Vani v'chasach v'tachdi Ashir LaHashem ki gomal alai Asher yeshvei ve'secha, which, you know, where am I? No, so that's for sure not, doesn't fly. There is a story, I'm not sure how far back it goes, but the story is well known, that there at some time, I believe it was in the late 80s, the Rebbe was visibly upset about something. There was something going on. I don't know if it had to do with the court case or something like that, but it was, I was not in New York at the time, and it was visible to people who were hanging around New York, and people wanted to know what they could do for the Rebbe to make the Rebbe feel better. So there's one bacher, who's a bacher from Detroit. His name is Zach Lakovsky, one of the younger one, the second one, and he wrote into the Rebbe that he is taking upon himself to be careful to say morning brachas from a siddur. You know how it is, you wash on latils yadayim. Okay, you got things to do to get out of the house, you know, so you start rattling off Asher Yatzar and Elokai Neshama, Hanaisin Lasechvi Bina, Mamal Bisharumim, Gnaisin Liaf Kayach, Yihiratzain, Barachatah Hashem. He started rattling these things off. So he wrote that he's not going to do that anymore. He's going to be careful to stop what he's doing, because this thing, he's not doing anything else. He's focusing just on the brachas. And he's going to say them from a siddur. So the Rebbe wrote him back an answer. Thank you. It's like a cold drink on a hot day. That's what the Rebbe said. Wow. Okay? You telling me that you're going to be careful to say the morning brachas from a siddur is like, for him, it's something like, you revived my soul like a cool drink on a hot day. So, the looking at the words, it says, first of all, Oisius Mechakimas. You get smarter when you look at the letters. That's referring to even learning Gemara. But there's a whole thing in this year's Basa Ligani, the mimer that the Friedrich Rebbe said that the Rebbe spent 20 years explaining, and then we got done, he spent another 20 years explaining it over. So in the paragraph which corresponds to this year, so there's a whole explanation of the difference between a Dalet and a Resh. And the big difference between the Dalet and the Resh is the Yud at the back end of the Dalet that makes it a Dalet, as opposed to the Resh, which just doesn't have a Yud. And the Rebbe talked in great length about appreciating the very shape of the letters. He goes into the whole thing about the name of the letter. Okay, the names of the letters are important because that's what they're called in Lashon HaKodesh, and we shall learn already in Shar Yechud V'Amunah, that the name that something is called in Lashon HaKodesh indicates what it does and how the godliness comes into it. But here the Rebbe was saying that the very shape of the letter itself is something which is important as how it conveys godliness into the world. So that godliness comes into the world through a Dalet in a Dalet way. And godliness comes into this world through the Resh in a Resh way. And the Friedrich Rebbe gives two examples, for example, that are brought in the Gemara right next to each other. It says you have to be careful with your Dalet and your Reshith, because what's going to happen is if you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echar, instead of Echad. So it says Hashem is another. Or if you say Leish Tachavel LaHashem LaElokim Achadim, and you put it a dalet over there. When instead of it being changed, do not bow down to other gods. You're saying do not bow down to one God. So it says you're machriv olam is what the Gemara says. You're destroying the world. Shema Yisrael, Hashem is another. Don't bow down to one God. So it says that we should all, when davening and looking, we should look at not just what the words mean, but even the very shape of the letters. Now, you shouldn't drive yourself meshuggah, because every time you're going to have a dalet and a resh, you're going to stop and think about this. You'll be done with shachris by next week. But we know that some of the things, there's a famous story of the Alter Rebbe when his... Pardon?
There's worse avers in the world being done with shachris by next week.
Okay, fine. The Mittler Rebbe was 3 years old and he needed to have a teacher. So the Alter Rebbe called in a young guy and says, I have a mitzvah to educate my son. You have a mitzvah to support your family. Let's switch. I'll support your family. You teach my son. So it says that the Melamed was a very smart person. So he took the opportunity. So what should I teach your son? So he said you should start with Aleph Beis. So he said, so what's an Aleph? So the Alter Rebbe said an Aleph is a point on the top and a point in the bottom and a line that connects the two. The point on the top, there's different versions. The point on the top is Hashem and the point on the bottom is the Jewish people. And the line that connects them is the is Torah and Mitzvahs. Okay, there's another version that says the point on the top is the godly soul, and the point on the bottom is the body, and the point, the line that connects them is the godly soul. So it says this is with every single Aleph that's going on over here. So each letter has its own specific thing. If you want to look for Hashem, you don't have to look too much further than your sitter. Hashem is in every word. That's why it says, by the way, every word in the Torah is a name of Hashem. I'm not sure where it says that. I think it's a Gemara. But it says every single word of the Torah is a name of Hashem. Because what does a name do? A name is such that when someone says that name out loud, you turn around. So every word of the Torah calls Hashem down here to you because you're calling him. And this is revealed to each and everybody according to the source of their soul and how smart they are. It says, if according to each man should he be praised. According to his intellect, each man should be praised. And he makes a drasha right here. Yahalo kisiv. It says, will be praised. Meaning that, when is it that a person is going to be praised? Is when he's using his intellect. Now, the Mittler Rebbe, I'm not sure if it's from a previous, based on previous Maimonim, that statement is a long verse, I think, from Yirmiyahu. And we say it in, I forget where we say it. It says, Al yichalal ish b'chachmasei. Do not praise a man for his wisdom. And he gives a whole list of things. But what should you praise a person for? But lefisichel yohalalish, you should praise him for his intellect. It just says, don't praise the chacham for his chachma. So how can you praise him for his intellect? So it says that what we're talking about, that a person should be praised, is that you could have a chacham. And the chacham is a person who has the ability of zeroing in on the nekuda, of taking away the external trappings and developing what the primary point of a subject is, and in doing so become a great intellectual. to the point where they could sit and they could analyze Tanya, for example, and come out with Tanya and say it's such a great academic work. So is such a thing as possible? For such a person who does such a thing, not only should he not be praised, he should be beaten. It says, what is it that a person should be praised? If his intellect is in that he himself is praising Hashem, that he's using his intellect for the dissemination, the revelation of Hashem, that's his praise. Uksiv, umalchusa de rekiya kein malchusa de ara. It says that the kingdom of above, the kingdom of heaven, is similar to the kingdom of earth. And he explains how. Before that, there is a story that goes with this. There is a very long story. This story happens to appear in Sipuri HaChasidim, Tales of the Chasidim by Shlomo Zevin. And the story is really the ultimate person. The story is that there was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe whose name was Meir Raphael's. He was the chief rabbi of Vilna. And he became a student of the Alter Rebbe after he was chief rabbi. And it was because of two mises that happened. The first mise I'm not going to tell you. But it's sort of like independent of it. There's a whole mise with an aguna. And the Alter Rebbe had some sort of expressed some sort of ruach hakodesh that this Meir Raphael's could help this woman from Lubavitch or from that area in Vilna to find her husband, and he did. But he just thought it was some kind of a fluke. He says, but what happened? He wasn't convinced yet, so he needed another maisa. What happened? Is there were two business people in Vilna, and they had been charged with tax evasion. Tax evasion is a serious offense. And there's a whole trial that was going to be scheduled, and I think there was one trial and there was an appeal. I don't remember exactly. It was really very serious. They were looking at some serious time in Siberia, breaking bricks, breaking rock into pebbles. So they went. So one of them had a cousin or something who suggested that they go to the Alter Rebbe and ask for a bracha. I mean, this is very serious. What was going to happen to them? So neither one of them were Hasidim. So they said, you know what we should. So they said, we're not going to go so fast. So this person's the cousin said, no, you really must. And he really hocked them a chinik. And finally they said, you know what? We're going to go ask the rabbi. It's got to be something. It's got to be according to the Torah. We're going to go ask the rabbi, Meir Raphael's, if we should go to the Alter Rebbe and ask a bracha. So this whole second maisa happened right after the first one with the maisa with finding this lady's wife, husband. And it was still fresh in his mind. And here two people are thinking, should I go to see the Alter Rebbe or not? So he said, yeah, go to the Alter Rebbe and ask a bracha. So so they went and they traveled. It was not easy to get there from Vilna to Liadi. And they got in, they went into Yechidus. And there was a whole, they were very, very shaken, and there was a whole note explaining what was happening to them and the dire straits that they were in. And the Alter Rebbe took a look at the note, and he kind of looked at them and said, it says in the Zohar that the kingdom of heaven is similar to the kingdom on earth. How is that possible? In which way are they comparable? So the Alter Rebbe, before answering, said that just like it is, that now we do not say Hashem's name, we don't call him by his name, which starts Yud and He and Vav and He, but we call him Adonai, meaning Lord. So too also the king, we do not call him by his name, we call him Tsar. We call him king. End of Yechidus. They were very disappointed. They came to get a bracha, a piece of advice. What do we do about getting sent to Siberia? And they got this whole drush, having hiding mit abiden with nothing to do with nothing. So they went back to Meir Raphael's and they told him what happened. And he said, "I don't understand it either. It's a Kenzai. The first story was just an accident of something, a coincidence, and I wouldn't give it too much thought." And he decided at that point that he's not going to go. This Meir Raphael's is not going to go to the Alter Rebbe. Somebody told them, "Listen, what you need, the only way you're going to get out of this sentence is if you can get somebody to appeal on your behalf to the Tsar himself. He's the only one that can commute your sentence." It says, how do you get to him? Well, you have the Minister of the Interior who's in charge, or the Minister of Justice, rather, who's in charge of the courts. And if you go and you beseech him, so maybe he might be able to get his ear, and he'll be able to act under the Tsar on your behalf. So fine, good. So they found out what the daily schedule, of the Minister of Justice, and they found that he takes a walk every day in the royal gardens at a certain time. So they bribed the guard to allow them in. This is the royal gardens. This is St. Petersburg. There's no Jews walking around over there. So they bribed the guard, "Please let us in. We have to talk to the Minister of Justice." Okay, so it just so happens that day, the Minister of Justice had some sort of a meeting that went overtime, and he never showed up, but the Minister of Education showed up. Okay, so they see this guy walking around, he looks obviously like a minister. They don't know nothing from nothing, they don't know if they should approach him or not, so they look over the guard, and the guard tried to signal to him, "Not that guy, that's not the guy." And what did they think he said?
That's the guy.
So they ran over to them, they threw himself at his feet, and they started explaining to him the whole situation with a court case, with a this, with that. He said, wait a minute. He says, "I'm the Minister of Education. You need to be talking to the Minister of Justice." He says, "I'm sorry, I can't help you." But then he said, "Wait a minute. I was just with the Tsar. And the Tsar asked me a very perplexing question, which I had no answer to. And he told me that I should find an answer." He says, "What was the Tsar's question?" So it says, "The Jews say that the kingdom of heaven is like the kingdom of earth. How is the kingdom of heaven like the kingdom of earth?" So they immediately flash back as like 3 months ago when they're standing in front of the Alter Rebbe's office, and they told him that just like it is, that with the heavenly kingdom, that Hashem is written Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, but we call Hashem Adonai, meaning Lord. So too, the king, we do not call him by his name or even ever refer to him. We always refer to him as Tsar. So he said, the Minister of Education said, "Bravo." He said, "I will talk to the king tomorrow and I will mention that I heard it from you and I will tell him over your plight and we will see if anything happens from it." So he went and he told the Tsar about this answer, and the Tsar, and then he explained to them who he heard this answer from and why they were in Moscow, or in St. Petersburg, and the Tsar commuted their sentence and they lived happily ever after. Wow. So now it was, they went back to Vilna, and they told Meir Raphael's what had happened. And Meir Raphael's that day, it says, he's closed his book. As soon as they got done with the story, he closed his book. He put on his hat and coat. And he immediately traveled to Liadi, where he became one of the senior Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe. And was very much responsible for working for the Russian government on behalf of the Alter Rebbe and the defeat of Napoleon in Russia. So that's it. So it says that the kingdom of heaven is like the kingdom on earth. So it says normally, what is the king doing? He's hanging out in his secret little chambers over there inside the palace, with all his precious stuff. And there's tons of guards all over the place. Asher kama v'kama mitzapim yamim v'shanim liros uzach avodei. And there are people who are waiting there for days and even years just to get a glimpse of the king in his strength and his glory. U'kisha'ala ritzayne. But when the king decides lihisgalis l'koil to appear before everybody, v'haver kol b'chol malchusay, so then the word goes out in the whole country, l'hakel l'amad l'fanav, that everybody can gather together in front of him, u'laharoysim k'vayt malchusay v'kar teferes gedulasay, which that's a part of the, that's a pasuk from Megillas Esther, referring to King Ahasuerus, who's referred to as the king, and he, Hashem, is going to show them his glory of his kingdom, and his, the beauty of his greatness, of his grandeur. Umisha oimed lefanav ve'ena choishes liroisu misasik b'tzrachav kama garua v'savol v'pesihu. So you got a guy who's standing there. Now the king says, I'll see everybody. And this guy's over there, and what is he doing? He's standing in front of the king, and he's texting. It says, not a good idea at all. Okay, he's blowing, aside from the fact he's going to get his head handed to him, it says that there's a story in the Gemara, I think it was a Rabbi Meir or somebody, that they appeared before the Caesar, and there's a person who was like making some kind of signs at Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was making signs back. So Rabbi Meir, the king, said, what's going on over here? Signs back and forth, hand signs, you're standing in front of a king. So the Rabbi Meir said that he's saying things very important, how do I actually convey things to you? And he said, you know what he said? He said, yeah, I know what he said. He said this and this and this and this. Okay, and then he turned to the other guy. He said, you know what he was saying? He said, I didn't have a clue. So he said, so what are you doing playing with signs? So the king had the second guy executed. You don't start playing with your hands in front of a king. So here's, you're standing in front of the king. You have an opportunity once in a decade, a lifetime, to stand in front of the king. And you're busy with your iPhone. Wait a minute, let me get a selfie. Okay? In addition to the fact that you're married by Malchus, but you're wasting a divine opportunity with Narish Kaiten. It says this guy's worse than a fool. The Nimshal Kabahamas Nidmo. It's a Pasuk in Tillim. This guy's like an animal. Ube'ene kol habriyos, in the eyes of everybody. How's it going to look? He's standing there. The king is looking at him, playing on his cell phone. So what is everybody else going to be thinking? What an idiot. V'gam hu b'zayin ha-melech. And this is also, this is an embarrassment to the king. The dishonor. B'haraisa l'fanam she'ena safam b'enav l'kabal. The king says, listen, it's a one-time an opportunity. I'm displaying all my wealth and my grandeur, and this guy's basically saying, minyana, no big deal. And he's occupying in his own needs. This guy's going to get his head handed to him. Because he's dishonoring the king. You understand where this is going? So we have the opportunity every single day, three times a day, to stand before Hashem in the splendor of his grandeur. And what are we doing? We're texting on our cell phones. We're engaged in idle chatter, we're speeding through, we're not paying attention, we're thinking about what do I have to do next. It says, aside from the fact that you could get your head handed for you, but you're wasting a perfect opportunity to establish a relationship with the king. And it's a dishonor to the king in front of everybody. About this it says, the fools raise an insult. All they have to do is just the fact that they're fools. That he's a fool, and he should not have raised this insult. And everybody sees that he is insulting the king. Al kain kavo chazal ketfila ge'ilik amir lifnei hamelech al kalpanim. Therefore, when the sages, the Machshekhneses of Gedola, established the Shmeina Esrei, they said that a person, when they're davening Shmeina Esrei, should see themselves as though they're standing in front of a king specifically. And he should see, although the king is standing right in front of him, the very basic kavan, without going into all kinds of Kabbalah and the words and the shape of the words and the meaning of the words, that when a person is davening Shmeina Esrei, he should achieve a certain step of level of bittul, nullification, before Hashem. In the Mimer from that the Rebbe explained this paragraph from Basil Ligani from this year, which is Ois Vav, there's a long explanation in the Mimer from 1956, that on the davening of Adnai Sefasai Tiftach Ofi Yagid Tehillasacha. Because it says in the Gemara that you have to be mismach geula l'tfila. You can't have any interruption from the time that you say Goal Yisrael until you start Shmeina Esrei. And there's a whole discussion, but wait a minute, at nighttime we say Hashkiveinu, and during the day, okay, so we start right away, we go Goal Yisrael, we take our three steps back. But the Gemara says, wait a minute, but then there's Adnai Sefasai, you say, before you start Shmeina Esrei. Adnai Sefasai is a pasuk, it's not part of Shmeina Esrei. It's the preamble. So the Gemara answer is Geula Arichtikahu. It's considered one long redemption. Saying Adnai Sefasai is not really, technically speaking, in this instance, part of Shmeina Esrei, even though once you said Adnai Sefasai Tiftach. Like, for example, if they're saying Kedusha. So if you hadn't said yet Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, so when they say Kedusha, you could say Kaddish, Kaddish, Baruch Shem, and Yimlech. If you've said Adnai Sefasai, you can't say anything. You're in Shmeina Esrei. So, but the purpose of Adnai Sefasai Tiftach, you're saying, listen, Hashem, I got nothing. You open my mouth. Who am I to start talking over here? I should praise Hashem. Who am I to praise Hashem? I should call Hashem great. That's an insult to Hashem. I should ask Hashem for my knees to make me smart and do tshuva and Mashiach should come and yada yada yada. Who am I to do such a thing? That's why it starts Adnai Sefasai Tiftach, Hashem. You put the words in my mouth. Make it that you're talking. And so that, since that's got some substance to it, so then whatever I'm asking for will be fulfilled. That is a state, that is an expression of absolute self-abnegation, the way the Rebbe explains it. In order to daven, the person has to make themselves nothing first. Get out of the way of yourself. And everybody's going to see that if at least, you know, when you act the part and you're talking the part, people don't know what you're thinking. So you can still be thinking stupidity over there. But at least as you're acting the part. That's why, before every davening, you really have to think, what am I about to do? It says that the Hasidim HaRishonim, before davening, would spend an hour thinking what they were about to do. They would spend an hour davening, each of the three davenings. And then they would spend an hour after davening, what did I accomplish by this davening? Umisha Einu Mara Kain Mischayev Benafshay. And a person who doesn't do this, he's texting in front of the king, basically. He's taking care of his own needs. V'alav Nemer B'zayir HaKadosh Da'ani Kalani Ketikuni Ilah V'echsei. That he has shown that by doing this, that he is no portion in the world, he has no portion in Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Rachman Lislan, Al Kain, Shluchosayat, the Rizal Kai Avidna, Ligza Gezera, Shava, Lechol Nefesh, Shalal, Lisiach, Siach, Betela, Kishitil Shatz. Therefore, he is enacting a decree. This is the point of the letter right now. He is, as our sages should say, that and has been enacted, and he wants to firmly resolve to make sure that everybody should try. That doesn't mean that they should try, that they should do, not to talk during davening at all. Mishiyaskel hashasli hispalel hatfila, from the time at the beginning of davening, ad gamar kadosh baster shachas arvus amencha chuvachulu, until he finishes davening the last kaddish, shachris mincha, shachris ma'ariv and mincha, and etc. There's a very long debate. First of all, why doesn't it say shachris mincha ma'ariv? Why does it say shachris ma'ariv mincha? And what's the v'chulu? V'chulu means and etc. Okay, so the and, etc., so people want to say that it means, the Rebbe never chiped in. This was going on when I was a bacher. There were things being written back in all the pamphlets that would come out about the and, etc., and the order. And it sort of comes out that it means, like, for example, the Musaf is not part of Shacharis, technically, and Nila on Yom Kippur, you shouldn't be talking during that time either. Like, duh.
Duh, yeah.
But the Alter Rebbe says v'chulu. The Alter Rebbe says v'chulu means, and you should know what the rest is. Okay. V'ha'ayver al zeh b'zadin, a person who intentionally talks in the middle of davening, yayishev al ha'aretz, he should sit on the ground in shul. V'yevakish megimel anashim sheyaster lo nidoi shalemaila, and he should request of three people in shul that he should be exempted from the excommunication from above, v'shavarafale, and if he'll return, he'll be healed, v'lochal alav shum nidoi lemafreya, and that there should not be any decree of excommunication upon him retroactively. It says this is heavy-duty stuff. The Alter Rebbe here is saying, he said before, a person who talks during davening is pushing away the Hashem. Now he's saying, okay, so you don't care. I pushed away Hashem, okay, good, so I'm still me. He says, no. It says, a person who talks in davening deserves to be excommunicated from Hashem. That Hashem's going to cut him off. And so if he intentionally talked in davening, he should sit on the ground and he should ask three people, a based in, to exempt him, that he shouldn't get excommunicated. And that he should come back, he should do tshuva, and not be considered one of those negligent people who should be considered excommunicated. And he should, and not be considered one of those rebellious, negligent people who are not searching for atonement from Hashem and from people because they did such a horrible thing like talking and davening. This is the reason why throughout the course of this class, whenever I talk about people doing something wrong, so I mention, like, for example, talking during davening. Okay, why do I mention specifically that thing? It's because of this letter. Because talking during davening is not just, okay, and I always say, so which is worse, talking during davening or being a chainsaw massacrist? Okay, when you talk about comparing things that are wrong, so we see, yeah, okay, a chainsaw massacrist is definitely worse than a person who talks in davening. But a person who talks in davening is not doing a good thing. Specifically when he's talking intentionally with a full soul, full like a full belly. We're not talking about somebody who accidentally said a couple of things to somebody. That's okay. We understand people slip up. It's okay. It's only somebody who's intentionally went over to somebody else and engaged in a conversation. We're not going to say to him, did you intentionally want to drive the divine presence out of the shul? Nobody thought that when they went over and talked to the guy during davening. And Hashem, the righteous God, is going to check out his kidneys and heart to see if he did it intentionally or if it was an accident. And there will be good. Hashem will do good unto those who are upright in their hearts. And we should have quiet shuls. But they should be lebedika quiet shuls. And that is the end of chapter 24. To be continued.